Hey, it's another episode of Screw It, a podcast about wine. Wine improves with age. We improve with wine. Oh, we have a good episode for you today. We are going to be talking about Parisian wines and the crap I learned in Paris so we can be snootier.
Went to Paris.
Yes. So anyways, this is Dawn.
And this is Lana.
And this is Alexis.
Who's excited to be here.
You can tell.
Bonjour, it is Kaylin.
Do you speak French?
Oh.
No. Do you fake French?
Oui.
That would be, let me see if I can remember this. Je ne parle pas français.
Ooh, you don't speak it.
Yes, I am saying in French that I do not speak French.
No, you don't.
I know.
When Daniel and I were wandering around Paris, because we were just there over New Year's, there was like, you know, all the restaurants where the people stand outside like, come eat with us. There was a guy who was like, really, I'm American, come eat here. Like, that makes me want to come eat at your restaurant.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Well, anyways, so we're here to talk about Parisian, not necessarily Parisian, but French wines and the crap I learned when I was there.
Oh, so, you crap you learned. I really want to learn that.
Crap. Learn my French crap, Lana.
I'd love your French crap, Dawn.
Well, no, Kaylin has already shown us that she can say these things way better and sexier than we can. So we have two bottles, one of which is...
A fine Bordeaux, private reserve, Christian Mouy. J.P. Mouy. I'm just going to go with
2010.
And Alexis?
2013 Côte de Rhône, which I'm going to like, from Le Prince... Du Courtaison, I think. I don't know. It's been years since my high school French.
Mine's junior high school, so you got bean
beans. Okay, yeah.
Well, and the first thing that I learned, and I should say where I learned all of this stuff. Daniel and I, we did a wine tasting in a place called Au Chateau, which is a wine bar. And the cool part about it is it wasn't like all the other wine tastings we've all ever been to where they're just trying to sell you their wine. Since it was a wine bar, they had all of these wines from all over France. And it was actually educational. And it was really cool. And the guy who was helping us out, and forgive me if I'm pronouncing your name wrong, it's Elaine Chalier, I believe. That sounds good. Right, Elaine?
That sounds good.
Yeah,
sounds
okay.
Beautiful.
And forgive me if I have any of this information wrong, Elaine. Just, you can correct us on our website, please. But he was very educational about what the wines are, what they mean, what they do, and all that stuff. And one of the most important things he said was, it's not about what the grape is, it's about where it's from. So the first thing I'm going to teach you is about appellations. Both of these bottles have an appellation on it, and it says where the wine came from. So our Bordeaux actually comes from Bordeaux, the region out there. But Bordeaux can come from technically anywhere, but it's where it's from. And Lana's got her Côte de Rhône.
And the Côte de Rhône is from Côte de Rhône.
Fascinating, isn't it?
Amazing.
Amazing. But that was one of the first things he said, was where it's from is more important than what it is.
And is the Côte de Rhône off of the Rhône River?
Sure.
It is. It's actually, it's a bank of the Rhône River, if I'm remembering correctly, and a Côte de something else is the other bank. And I can't remember the name, but there's another, the other side of the river is another appellation. That's also good, but I only ever see the Côte de Rhône, so that's what I buy because it's one of my favorites.
Yes, I'm nodding at what Alexis is saying because I have no idea.
The other one would be the Côte de Rhône.
Côte de right and Côte de left.
Oh, how gauche of you.
I know.
Sorry.
No, let's do it.
French humor.
Kaylin, which one do you want to start with?
I think we should go with the Bordeaux.
Yay!
Okay, I think I don't think I can do the Josh... Oh, maybe I can do the Josh Craig and just pull the...
Yes, work it.
Oh. Off
the lid. The foil.
The foil.
Le foil.
Le foil.
Okay.
Sorry, Elaine.
So one of my best memories of drinking wine in Paris was actually drinking champagne under the Eiffel Tower.
Oh.
And guys come by with bottles of cheap French champagne.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
$10... You cannot go wrong with any French champagne.
No.
And they consider that their swill. You know?
I know.
And here we're like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, just pour it down my throat.
Okay.
Champagne bong.
Our first favorite sound.
Mm-hmm. Ooh. Work it, work it, work it. Oh, it broke.
Oh, it broke. Oh. Well, that is not my favorite sound ever.
You generally go up, not...
No, it's
we have a technique.
We have a technique, and if
podcast
you,
technique.
Got it.
Trying to get the optimal sound.
Yes, it
Alexis
is.
Knows what we're doing.
It's the whole, if only I had a Foley table, it would be great. But I don't.
Oh, yeah, if I knew how to do it with my mouth, I'd be a...
Damn those real cork corks.
I know.
Okay, let's see if I can not mess this up again.
Yay.
Yay!
Now, it's the other thing I learned while we were there. It's completely appropriate to smell the cork. Now, you're not smelling the cork, though, to smell the wine. You're smelling the cork... hold on.
That's our favorite sound. Except for the sound of us glugging. That's a really good sound, too.
But you smell the cork to actually see if the wine has gone bad. Or if the cork has gone bad, excuse me.
Yeah.
So,
the vinegar check.
Yeah, yeah, and it's...
Is it moldy? Is it clean?
Is it kind of dried out looking?
Crumbly.
It's mostly to find out if it's, like, moldy and if the cork is rotted. Right. But, like, whenever you go there... Sorry, Alexis, I didn't pour you very much. Whenever you go there, it's like it's just... They pull it, they check it, they smell it, great. And it was really fun to see that. Ooh, I got some on my fingers. Oh,
you're ahead of us. Stop,
how
it, Dawn.
How awful. Oh, I got some on my iPad. Oh, no. Awful.
Stop licking your iPad,
I'm going to lick my iPad.
Posing Bordeaux all over the place.
Oh, how dreadful. Now, the first thing we'd like to do is look at our wine to see the colors
Holy
of it.
Crap, that's
dark. It is a dense rind.
You cannot see through this wine.
No.
You can't see my hand through it.
What was interesting, what Amazing. Elaine taught us, is that you could tell if a wine is old or young based on the color. Like, when you tilt the glass and just kind of look at the edge, and I'm holding a white piece of paper behind my glass so you could really see the color. If it's a lighter pink, it means it's younger. But if it's more brown, it means it's older. And the French typically love young wines. That's what they go for. But what do you guys think? If you, like, hold it up and look, what color do you see?
I mean, this is a middle-aged wine.
That looks right in the middle.
It looks right in the middle.
Between
right
pink
in the
middle. And brown, yeah.
That is, yeah, I completely agree.
And
yeah,
I'm a colorist.
Alexa,
you know, I've had some wines that there's just that amber rim around it, and it's like, oh, this is going to be fusty, isn't it? And it's like, oh, yeah, it is.
Fusty. That's a good description. But otherwise, yeah, it's completely opaque. We can't see through it.
Actually, it looks really great with your nails. Look at that.
Oh, yes. We have some good nail action going on.
Beautiful.
And since it's a 2010, that would seem to make sense. It's had 5 years.
Oh, my God. It's 2015. Yeah, I haven't gotten used to that one yet.
5 years? Wait a minute. 2010 was just the other year, wasn't it?
I don't know anymore. I don't know. Let's just drink the years.
I'm looking for some legs here.
And it has a moderately... thick veneer on the sides when you swirl the glass.
Yeah.
So it has a nice hold.
I've never heard that term before.
I like it.
I like that too.
There's a difference between a hold where you kind of see, I don't want to say oily, but it looks like an oily film.
Yeah.
Which is a good thing.
That's a good thing.
And, you know, they always talk about the legs, about whether it draws down in legs. I don't see a ton of legs on this.
I do. Look at mine.
Yeah.
Look how many legs I have.
Well, it depends on how you swirl. If you just tip it and drop it, it's going to do that. But if you give it a swirl, then you really get to see.
I got some good leg action. It might be all the saliva I spit into your glass first one. I'm sorry.
I've asked you to stop doing that.
Yes, you've asked me to keep doing that.
I just love swap and spit with you, Dale.
That's pretty epic on your legs there.
I would love to know what chemical property of the wine contributes to that.
So please,
Elaine, let us know. Tell us what it is, because we don't know. So should we smell this guy?
Oh, that's the best.
Yep. Now, the thing that Elaine taught me was that you do a quick smell, let it sit for a second, and then, like, 10 seconds later, you smell it again. And you do, like, the whole mouth smell.
Like the cats with their phlegming?
Yes, yeah, yeah. So it's like you, like, breathe it in through your mouth and, like, almost exhale it through your nose.
So my first sensory is of chocolate and raspberries.
My first sensory is, oh, my God, it's wonderful.
I'm getting some cherry and cigar.
Alexis?
Oh, my God, I'm terrible at smells.
It's red. Thanks, Tim.
I love you, Tim.
I blame my years as a filmmaker for being overly focused on visuals.
Yeah, it has
no attention to smell.
A high, sweet, tart, cherry. Yeah, it has a high note in its smell.
I would go so far as to simply say I smell various fruit in it.
Okay, that's cool.
Without a sweetness, but I do smell the fruit.
Okay, I can't take it anymore.
Can we try this now?
Please!
Okay. You guys try it, okay. And I'll let you know what I learned in Paris. So, Elaine told us that there are four categories to taste, and basically he told us that you and I have been doing it wrong this entire time.
Well, of course,
screw him. I love you already without having met you,
but I'm not going to listen.
He says the four categories that we would look for is like fruit, flower, smoky, and spice. And you would break down fruit to like red fruit, white fruit, citrus fruit, that kind of thing. And you'd break it down after that. Otherwise, he's like, those are the only four things you taste. Which, Elaine, we think you're wrong. But that's okay. We're going to honor you on this one. And smoky, he described, would kind of have a burnt taste to it. And then that would be smoky. But like spice is not necessarily, it's cinnamon or
I would
whatever.
Say there's even a grassy. Flavor.
Where's that one fit in, Elaine? Grassy. What do you guys think?
But nice and dry.
It's very dry.
Dry in the...
That makes me happy.
But it's very elegant. You know, it's not a fizzy. It's very, very clear. When it sits on the tongue, it just kind of evaporates without there being an after bing. What you have coming in almost is what you have going out. Some wines really change after you swallow.
And
this one... For me, stays very consistent.
It is very consistent from beginning to end.
That's a great way to describe this.
It's very. It hits the front of the tongue, the sides of the tongue, but it disappears before it hits the back of my tongue. There's no, you know how some of those some wines just sort of like
crescendo.
Yeah, they do, and they sort of explode towards the back of your mouth.
Yeah.
So this is very, very forward.
It almost evaporates. Yeah.
Well, and this is where I'm going to. Just take out my axe to grind against Napa Valley wine.
Please do. You guys can argue about that.
I'm always against those.
One of the things I love about all of the French wines that I've had is that they don't prioritize oak. My brother, Brad Sorensen, if you're out there, who works at Paul Hobbs.
Hi, Brad.
Told me
come
that
over
a lot
to
of,
Lana's house.
You should have him on the show.
We'd love
he
to.
Would
yeah.
be
Is he local?
Amazing. No, he's in California, but the next time he comes out to
he's
visit, make sure he swings
by. Yes, please.
We would love to. Come on out, Brad. Bring some wine.
But anyway, he told me that a lot of French wineries use their barrels over and over and over and over for many years rather than the Napa Valley wineries where this one time we went over to visit him. He's like, guess how much my firewood cost?
Oh, no.
And I'm like,
nothing.
I don't know, Brad. How much does it cost? It was from last year's barrels that I think were new the year before that they shipped over from France at great expense. I don't know how many hundreds of dollars those barrels cost. But they use them like once or twice and then chuck them because they want more oak. They want
they want
robust wine
sappy.
That crawls down your throat and
hurts
punches
you.
Your taste buds.
Oh, and I love those wines.
Yeah, she does.
But sometimes you need a mean red.
But
I like that term. See, I call it the red that fights me back.
Yeah.
But I don't like mean reds. I like these kinds of smooth, you know, where the flavor is not coming from one major thing. The flavor's coming from the fruit. I'm in it for the fruit. I want to taste the grapes. So that's what I love about this kind of Bordeaux, where I'm really just tasting all the grapes and everything that happened to the grape, and I don't have this tree fighting me for my attention.
The knights who say knee.
Well, and you bring up a really good point. I mean, I personally find French wines to be a lot more gentler, like this type of Bordeaux. But this, I think, is one of my most favorite Bordeaux's I've ever had, to be honest.
It's really good.
It's very, very good. I would drink this again.
Oh, yeah.
I will snap a picture of it.
And keep drinking it.
We need to taste this with some food. Because that's really my...
Would you like some gluten-free
bread? I'm surprised you guys don't have a plate of chocolate.
Yeah. I actually would... This with chocolate would be amazing.
It would be amazing. You know, we try to keep the standards of, like, wine tasting, which, according to the internet, is white bread. Mm-hmm. And, like, white bread, straight up. I don't think this is Wonder Bread, but I think we're close.
Would that be a baguette if it was French?
I would.
Yes.
I would. Whatever.
Everything's better with a baguette.
Whatever French bread they stuck in front of me, I would eat it.
Well, I think the internet is boring. That's what I think.
Well, they say white bread and unsalted almonds, which we have next to try. Right. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of...
Sound baffling.
The almonds. Sound baffling almonds.
Yes. There's a story behind that.
But, I mean, I'm just trying some of the bread without the oil.
Okay.
And just... I think Lana's doing with oil right now. And how is it? How's it change for you?
It's not changing a whole heck of a lot.
Which doesn't necessarily surprise me.
Mm-mm.
And what do you think, Alexis, now that you've shoved some in your mouth?
It is impressively consistent.
Mm-hmm.
This doesn't surprise me at all about French wines.
Mm-hmm.
I mean...
I know that one thing about French wines, so much of American wine is meant to be for, you know, like cocktail party wines. So a lot of it is made where it's often very good just drinking it alone, no food. And it doesn't have to stand up to food. And I think the French wines are really built to have a meal with it.
Always.
I mean, this would be great with, you know, some, you know, really hearty beef.
I think it'd be great with fish. I think it'd be great with pasta. I think
it would be great in a stew, and it would be great next to the stew.
But mostly
before
in
the
my
stew
glass.
And after the stew.
I was thinking stroganoff.
Mm-hmm.
That too.
That would be great.
I mean, you know, one of the things you see
consistently
when you're in France, and certainly we saw it and experienced it when we were in Portugal this last year, is, you know, you sit down in a restaurant and every single table has a bottle.
Hallelujah. Isn't it wonderful?
People don't get a glass. It's a family with a bottle or two. And they're drinking it throughout the whole meal. And it's not anything precious or special or for with the appetizer. Mm-hmm. It's like, this is what wine's drinking with the meal.
And your meal also is not we're going to go in, we're going to eat, we're going to leave. Right. It's... It's relaxed.
Yeah,
it's
the table's yours for the
price
evening.
Wise, you can buy a bottle, a very good bottle of wine, for $20, or you can buy one glass for $10.
You know, when we were in Paris, I didn't necessarily see that because they did like the 3 ounce, 5 ounce pours, but what we did notice, and anyone who goes to Paris, listen up.
I'm listening.
Because they will ask you if you want water, and if you don't specify tap water, they'll give you a bottle of water, which is, are you ready? More expensive than your bottle of wine.
Because wine is a staple of life.
Exactly.
Water is not.
Water is not. So, I mean, and we did. We got nuked our first night in, even though we knew that, and it was like, damn it. But when we didn't order wine for lunch, we kind of got this look from our servers like, you just want water?
Yeah.
Right.
Like, what are you, Baptist?
Yeah. I mean, so they've created all of these wonderful wines that is just meant to be dined with. So
well,
the
and, there's, and there's so much output that the prices are very cheap. And by the way, the anecdote Kaylin told was a beach anecdote in Portugal.
Yeah. Oh.
So we were at the beach for the day, and it was a remote beach.
Tourist,
so you took
it wasn't
a tourist beach.
No, it wasn't
a
tourist
beach. You get on a boat, they took you out, and it was basically the sandbar island that was the beach that everyone just went to.
Oh.
And you just went and you stayed, and they had this little shack with snacks and wine. And I said, I'm going to go get us some wine. And Kaylin's like, we don't really need a bottle this time. So I...
Stop the story there. You don't need...
One of the rare moments.
I'm disconnected.
And literally...
And you were driving, so I don't understand this
swimming.
Whole thought process.
The price of...
Don't understand that either.
The price of two glasses was equivalent to the price of a bottle. And I could not bring myself, even though I wasn't really... planning on drinking half a bottle of wine at the beach and getting a massive hangover because of the sun.
Sun.
Dehydration. You know, you're swimming in the ocean. I just...
Yeah.
Anyway. But I was like, screw it. Give me the bottle.
You said... Sir, you said what?
I said, screw it.
Screw it.
Give me the bottle.
Wait a second. That's our new saying. Screw it.
Just give me the bottle.
So you're, I'm sorry if I misunderstood you, Kaylin. Yes. So your anecdote was about being in Portugal, not in Paris.
Yes.
Right. Oh, okay.
Or for the $10.
For the $10. Okay, that was my bad. I misunderstood.
No, I did too. No,
although
I
mean, Parisian prices are not same that thing. Far
if
away.
You are yeah. going to guaranteed, there's always, always good, affordable bottles of wine.
And what's
always.
Really exciting mm-hmm. is my friend Ryan Beckwith, who's an illustrator I work with, he had the same experience in the countryside of France that we had in the countryside of Portugal, which is you can find a roadside farmer's market,
mm-hmm.
and there's some farmer with a plastic jug of wine,
yep.
and you
yep.
can, you know, €5, and it's fantastic. It has
is.
No name, you have no idea what it is. You just take it home and drink it, and it's all good.
It is the same in Italy, which mm-hmm. I'm my favorite country in the world. You know,
yeah.
There's just, you know, there's always at least a carafe of wine with everything you have.
With
and it's
everything.
The their house wine. House wine is mm-hmm. something that you would, you know, sell your right arm for to get here. And it's like, are you
yeah.
kidding me?
Well, when we came back from Paris and we had to have our first few meals, like, in the U.S., it's like, well, where's my wine? I mean, it was actually hard to get used to.
Yeah.
It's lunchtime. Where's my wine?
Exactly. It's breakfast. Wait, yeah. we didn't do that. No.
When I'm at the office tomorrow, I'll be thinking that. It's lunchtime. Where's my wine?
Well, that's the other thing you see is you're having lunch. So I was in, how can I forget, Lisbon. And I was there for work. So, you know, I was out eating lunch with the company I was consulting with.
And this is not Lisbon, Iowa, right?
No, this
is
Lisbon.
Okay.
And so you're looking around and all the people from all of the businesses around, you know, mm-hmm. they're all having wine for lunch. They're not getting hammered.
No.
But they're just having some wine with lunch and going back to work and leading perfectly productive lives. So this whole nation had, oh my God, you know, I can't drink because I gotta go back to
maybe
work. It's like, well, if you don't drink 5 martinis...
Wait,
and just have...
wait. Don't drink 5 martinis. You're really confusing me today.
Oh, man, if you don't drink 5 martinis lunch. And just have a couple glasses of wine, you're fine.
Maybe we'd be a little less stressed and anxious
if
we just calmed down and had a glass of wine with
had lunch. Had lunch and a little libation.
Yeah. And actually had lunch somewhere other than, you know,
McDonald's.
Your desk.
Yeah.
Well, and this
here
is
here we are, destroying American productivity. You heard it here first.
Yes. Unscrew it, give me the bottle. And this is the reason why we thought, you know, Kaylin and Alexis would be awesome guests today because
they are.
Which they are. Which, I mean, because you guys are world travelers. I mean, you just came back from Bali. Mm-hmm. Am I not mistaken?
Bali via Singapore. I work in Singapore twice a year. So a lot of what brings me around is clients that I have around mm-hmm. the world. That's mm-hmm. kind of my rule. It's like, if you want me to travel to consult with you, where do you live? If it's someplace interesting, yeah, sure. I'd love to fly out and teach you about color.
And hence our Portugal wine tour.
Oh,
so that truly is the last one that just sticks out in our minds.
Yeah,
we were in Paris. So we really do appreciate and are totally with you on the French wines.
Yeah, and by the way, we went to Turkey after that.
Yes.
And Turkish wines, when you find them...
are amazing.
Pretty darn good.
That's so cool.
You know what?
What?
I hate to interrupt this, but we have to rate this
we
wine.
We do have to rate
right.
this
rating
wine.
The wine. And so let's explain our rating system. It's
because
1 through 5.
Very scientific.
It's 1 through 5, 1 being the lowest, 5 being the highest. You can use decimal points or rounds, as we like to say in computer speak.
If you need to.
Yes. 1 is, I wouldn't drink it if they were handing it out free at Renfest.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah.
Yep, okay. We've been there. Number 2 is we would put this on our salad because it would be a great vinegar salad dressing.
Mm-hmm. 3 is wedding appropriate wine. You know, they're handing it out for free and you're
opening.
Drinking.
Oh, art opening wine.
Oh, no, that is,
no,
that's a 2.5.
Yeah. But we agree with you on that.
Yeah,
we agree with
but
you.
That's a good delineation.
Yeah, yeah that
but
is a good
weddings,
one.
Weddings, they tend to, you know, is a little better than that, I think.
Yeah. And 4 is a bottle I wouldn't feel guilty drinking by myself. Like, as in, I would keep it all to myself and share it.
Ooh, I'm having pizza. Perhaps I'll just drink this whole bottle of wine with it, because we've never done that.
Never. Never.
Ever.
And 5 is,
I would tap that vintner's cask. So how do you guys feel about about this one, Alexis? I mean,
I would freely volunteer a five for this one.
You would do the vintner over, huh?
Relative to many wines I've drank.
Yeah.
And we haven't even touched the Coton yet.
Oh. How about you, my dear?
You might have his child at that point.
I would have the vintner's child.
I would say this is a solid four.
Really?
Yep. Yeah.
But you like it, but what would have made it a five for you if you can articulate that? Because I don't think I could.
Always am open for the ultimate surprise.
Mm.
So by just going for a five,
oh, I know.
Limits that truly special five.
Oh.
So I would say that, yeah.
Oh my gosh, Alexis, I think you're a five. Kaylin does think it.
Well, I was just thinking, you know, that's why I'm never going to have 5 stars on my books on Amazon. Those people.
Yes,
I don't give fives.
Because of me.
I ruined the average, Kaylin.
Okay, 4.5.
Oh.
It is damn good.
It is damn good.
Yeah.
Lana?
Oh, you're not going to like me. I'm going to give this a 3.5, and I will explain why.
Explain why.
Okay, first of all...
Aside the fact that I won't speak to you again, but yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead!
All right, no, I like a wine that just explodes in my mouth.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. California girl. Mm-hmm.
No.
Mm-hmm. No?
Washington Valley.
Oh. Yep, she's a Washington Valley fan.
And I like something that really progresses. I like it to change. I want a story told in my mouth.
Wow.
Make of that what you will.
We're going to make Elwood what we
and
want.
And it's a little high in tannin for me. I like that soft, velvety, smooth finish. And yeah, I'm going down that road.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you are. Yeah.
So three and a half, which actually for something with that high a tannin and mm-hmm. that much brightness
right.
is pretty good for me.
So for you, that's almost... 4 or 5
mm.
in the non-Washington
and,
range.
Oh, that's a good,
you know,
that's a
yeah.
good way to
I, well,
it.
I mean, for California wines, I'm not very fond of them unless, you know, I'll go for a cab. They're pretty mm-hmm. good at their Cabernet, but mm-hmm. most of their wine has a real mineral content that doesn't thrill me. So, Dawn.
Yeah.
What would you say about this wine, darling?
This is one of my favorite Bordeaux's I think I've ever had, which Bordeaux is not one of my most favorite French wines to begin with, but this one makes me really happy. I mean, yeah, I would do this vintner. I'd give this one a 5.
Woo!
Yeah,
I'd
take care of this vintner really well.
We got some sex going on here at Screw It.
Well, I'm with you. I'm usually not one to go for a Bordeaux.
And no, here I am as well. I'm not going to go into a store and the first thing I'm going to grab is Bordeaux.
No, so. I know. This one is,
to be honest, first Bordeaux for me.
Wow.
First Bordeaux for you. See, now, I mean, because I was prepping for Paris, I had multiple Parisian wines before I went.
I thought you were going to say you had multiple Parisians, and I went, wait a second.
Oh, that would have been
prepping.
That would have been boring. No, nothing. No offense, Elaine. No offense. No offense. Yeah, so, I mean, I tried a bunch of Bordeaux's, and I was like, meh, but this is my favorite one. So why don't we kill the rest of this glass, rinse it out, because
and
we've got
rinsing,
the next one to move to.
I'm muscling. Oh, this ain't gonna work. Okay, out comes the knife.
Are you actually knifing this wine? Is that what you're saying?
Yep.
Wow.
Just the foil. Wow, this is the noisiest foil I have ever heard.
And now ripping it with
your
teeth.
Wow. Crap.
So
do you know what we didn't, huh?
What?
Yeah, that was yours.
I was going to say, I have a story about water.
Glasses of water? Oh,
so
my dear.
So I was doing a cross-country drive in the early 90s, and I went across the Trans-Canadian Highway.
Wow.
With my girlfriend at the time. And we stopped at this little sort of historical recreation French fort.
Which one?
Which was, I can't remember which one
okay.
for the life of me. But we went in, and it was cool. People were dressed up.
Yeah.
Every, you know, doing things. And so we went into sort of the governor's house.
Mm-hmm.
And they had tables set for entertaining.
Yeah.
And they had these big bowls of water in front of every setting. And I was like, what are the bowls of water for? And they said, well, you know, we're out here in the boondocks.
Mm-hmm.
You weren't going to bring 5 wine glasses for each setting. So everyone had one glass, and they just dunked the whole glass in and washed it out in their bowl.
That's fascinating.
Oh, cool.
And that was in Canada.
That was in Canada.
And you were doing the Transatlantic, so the QEW is what you're driving.
Yeah. So it was somewhere, I think it was in between Toronto and Saskatchewan.
So
that's a huge area. I know.
Now.
So don't drink the bowl.
Dip
the bowl.
And then drink the bowl after.
Yes.
All right. So we have our Côte de Rhône, which I hate to say is one of my favorites, but All right, Lana.
Maybe I won't break this
Don't
one.
Don't break this one. Okay. Here we go. Here we go. It's going to be beautiful. It's going to be... It's... Oh.
Disappointing.
Weak. But smell the cork. Quick. Smell the cork. Because we're in Paris right now. Does it smell like it's nasty?
No.
Okay, great.
Strangely flowery.
Yeah. That's awesome. Oh, and Caitlin's going to smell the cork.
Smells good.
Does it smell nasty? Yeah, it looks good.
It looks fresh.
It looks very. It has a just a thin,
nice
thin pink.
Yeah. Thin pink. And it actually that cork looks a lot more dense than the Bordeaux's.
Interesting.
It's interesting.
That was also really fun in Portugal because that's where they make a lot of the cork because they have all the cork trees. So there's just cork
comes from trees.
It does.
My blown.
Yes.
Tree bark.
What? So,
Wait a second. You've got water in that.
Oh, what the hell? I'm not a professional or something. Yeah, please do. Now, Elaine also let us know that it's normal for like 3 to 5. Oh, stop. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. He said 3 to 5% of cork is rotted or nasty. So it's relatively not normal, but apparently I need to go buy lottery tickets for how many of my corks have been nasty.
I've had nasty corks and good wine.
That's great.
Yeah.
I haven't typically encountered a nasty cork with a good wine, but that's heartening to hear.
Yeah. We did have a nasty cork once, the two of us, and boy, that wine really did taste like, that had gone off.
Now, when you say nasty cork, are you saying nasty on the inside or crusted on the outside? Because like that's two different things.
Like it's rotted?
Even dry, crumbly, and disintegrating as I'm opening it.
Yeah, I've had that. I've had them rotted.
Yeah.
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 And sometimes the color of the wine on the cork itself will just tell you right away, oh, this doesn't look good. Mm. This looks wrong.
And it may be because it was just standing up.
Yeah, instead of soaking. Soaking. Yeah. I like to call it soaking. So we're going to check out the color of this one, this Côte de Rhône. And oh my god.
This is beautiful.
Isn't it beautiful? And now, if you look at the coloring,
this is a much lighter.
As it should be, because this is a 2013.
Right.
This is a darkish mulberry. This isn't red, it's more nubby, pinky.
I can see my fingers through it.
Yeah. Right, and we're tilting the glass and holding it up against something white, and it does come out pinker, right, yes. Mr. Color Guy?
Yes.
It's not just red, Tim.
Yeah. Well, and up to the light, oh gosh, that's a beautiful color.
Isn't that beautiful?
Wow. Oh, I want jewelry in that color.
It is ruby.
It's gorgeous. And so again, this is a Côte de Rhône from the appellation of Côte de Rhône. Wee! So, do you want to take sniffs of this one?
Yes.
Oh, wait, I'm swirling. But, I mean, we've already had water in the glass, so it's going to kind of screw up any leg action, but...
There's still a good deal of adhesion.
Nice. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm seeing it. I'm seeing it.
Adhesion doesn't sound good, but it's really...
No, adhesion sounds very good.
Oh, that's leggy. That's much leggier than the one before, especially with the wine, or the water, as you said.
Yeah.
Smell it, because I already smelled it.
That sounds really good. Here, smell this.
Dawn is now doing her happy
wiggle. I know, I'm doing my happy wiggle.
Your butt won't sit in the chair.
No, it won't.
Wow.
So here's how primitive I am. All I can say is this smells like not fruit.
It smells like not fruit?
It smells like not fruit. If the Bordeaux smelled like fruit,
this
does
is
not
a,
smell
a
like
sparkly.
Fruit.
It's a very sparkly, effervescent smell to me.
It's light fruit.
Yeah, it's very light. It's very spring. It's very
It's more raspberry than cherry.
Yeah.
In fact,
so you're wrong, Alexis. Is what everyone else is telling.
It's a different kind of fruit.
Yeah. It's very bright.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, it's
brighter than the last one. Definitely.
Oh! I just got up through my sinuses. Wow.
In a good way? Like a wasabi way or a good way?
No, better than wasabi. Wasabi hurts a little bit.
Yeah, wasabi makes me cry when it gets in my sinuses.
As opposed to the cat that...
He's cute.
Hi, pretty. But no, this is usually when I get one of those, it's like, oh, this has something in store for me.
Should we taste it?
Please.
We didn't toast last time.
Okay, shit, we need two toasts.
Yeah, okay, let's do two toasts real quick.
Okay, the first toast is to...
Oh, let's do it to Paris. Just the freaking
to
French
Paris.
For getting wine right.
To Paris.
And then the second toast...
I'm sorry, to Don and Daniel. And what happened in Paris?
And for you Screwed fans, we got engaged on New Year's Eve. But anyways, that's another story, so let's try this wine.
Cheers.
This.
Oh, damn.
What do you think, Alexis, Mr. Cote d'Aron fan?
I like it. It's very light. Mm-hmm. It's very light compared to the Bordeaux. Easy drinking.
Oh, it's very
two easy. Bottles of this would go away real fast. You'd be like, what? Wait,
even
they go?
On the beach when you're swimming in
yep.
the sun?
Yep, getting dehydrated, and you would be very sad the morning after, but that's
the Bordeaux was more contemplative, a much more serious, gentle, I'm going to sit by the fire.
Studious. It's a studious wine.
Yeah. Okay. And this is...
Let's go drinking!
Let's have a party!
Yeah, I could drink this. I would not drink the Bordeaux in the afternoon. I would save that more for an evening kind of... Yeah, this is very, very light and energetic.
You have a difference between afternoon and evening wine. Interesting.
We need to hang out with Kaylin more often.
No, see, I'm just like, it's wine. I like it. I'm drinking it now.
It's in my mouth. So, Nolana, you had a very big, surprising caca when you drank this. What was that?
Oh, this fills my mouth. It. See, the first one just kind of stopped mid-tongue and just went and stopped.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And this one just keeps going back on my tongue and it fills all the way up to my soft palate.
Mm-hmm.
I like mouthful.
Yes,
apparently.
You do. Lucky man, Steve. So, this was my wine of choice when we were in Paris. I mean, I would drink anything, but I mean, God bless these wine menus. I mean, they had everything, and it was lovely, but it was, if there was a Cote d'Aron on it, I was like, that's what I'm getting. Because I knew Daniel would like it. I knew you could drink it with anything.
They're easy wines. They really are.
Yeah. We were kind of chatting a little bit earlier. These are hard to find in a restaurant. Easy to find in a store, but hard to find in a restaurant. Like,
unless you're in New York. It's easier to find in New York.
I was going to say, these Cote d'Aron were our main go-to in New York.
But in Minnesota, not so much. Because I was just in Chicago. I didn't see these in Chicago menus. But
we need to start digging around online for restaurants with really good wine menus. And then we'll just have to go to lots of dinners.
Okay. Cheers.
Salut.
Salut. Yay. Wine drinking dinners. Yay.
Okay. Now this is an absolute first for me, and maybe I'm hallucinating. But as I was first drinking this, I got almost a little sniff of violets. What the heck is that?
I don't know, but
hence
I will,
the spring.
It's wonderful.
It's not lavender, but it's violet.
Yes. So both these bottles came from my Laithwaite subscription, and they're like, just in case you guys don't know, you get a case every quarter. Sometimes less than that because I can't drink that much wine, believe it or not.
Why?
I know. But yeah, both of these wines came through that subscription, and I was thrilled. And let me tell you the next thing I learned about wines when I was in Paris at
Please
the Chateau
do.
With Elaine. So he was adorable because Elaine is a French speaker, and so he was like, you know when bottles have, you know, and he's like, these, when they have these shoulders. And so our Bordeaux is a bottle with shoulders. And
oh, I see.
Yep. And our Cote d'Aron has
no shoulders.
Or if you want to say sort of squared off bottle and a very fluid bottle.
Right. And he was saying that when a bottle does have shoulders, like this Bordeaux, it's because you have stuff you want to catch.
Sediment,
thank you. In like the little lip.
Okay.
And so that when you pour it, you're hoping to catch most of
the
sediment.
You want to pour it very gently.
So I usually see what is in the Cote d'Aron, that bottle is usually a white bottle.
Right. Yep.
And the Bordeaux is what I would associate with a red bottle.
Which makes sense.
And right. In the U.S., most of our bottles are
and
the ones with shoulders.
Hence your lower tannin count with the Cote d'Aron.
Mm-hmm.
It's
It was a piece of information I had no idea about. So if you're ever in Paris, he's right by the Louvre. It's called Au Château. Go check it out, because again, it's not one of those we're going to sell you our wines. And the cool part was, is that he had the bottles and he just kind of kept filling up your glass all the time. It wasn't one of those, oh, we're only going to give you 2 ounces because we're in the United States.
Oh man, the wine tasting pours when you go to the continent are crazy, aren't they? Because we had the same experience when we were tasting ports in Porto. Because we were thinking, oh, you know, we'll do a tasting and it'll just be a little bit at the bottom. No, they were pouring us glasses of port.
It was great.
We're getting 20-year-old
and that
full glass.
That has a kick and a punch and will carry you through to the next day.
Oh, it blew my mind. We went to Taylor Fladgate and we got a full bracket of 40-year Tawnies, because I wanted to figure out what the difference was.
And did you?
Oh, yeah. 40 is better.
Well, you know, sometimes turning 40 this year, I agree.
Some things do get better with age.
But that glass of 40-year Tawny?
Yeah.
Here in a restaurant? Yeah. I mean, that glass would be like, $50?
Yeah.
Or so. And there, I think it was like 9 euros. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, we were thrilled to have this class, because it was fun, too, because we were obviously in the English-speaking class, because there was, like, a couple from California, there was one couple from London, and another couple, golly, were they from California, too? So, I mean, the couple from California was always comparing everything to their Californian wines, and they're like, what's going on? The great part was Daniel didn't like any of his wines, so I got them all.
I was fine with that. So, do you notice a change with the bread?
You know,
I do.
Really?
And it's good.
No, was it bread and oil, or is it just bread?
I just tried the bread and oil first, so I'm going to try bread now.
But I like it. I think I don't like a lot of bite to my wine. I think it softens down. It becomes more companionable
or integrated.
You're not agreeing with that, Kaylin, are you?
You don't like it so much. You want it to stand on its own?
I kind of want it to stand on its own.
So she wouldn't be a fan of the magic cheese that changes all the wines.
And by the way, if you're hearing background noise, that's Steve. He's ready to go to the UPS store.
Hi, Steve.
Yes. Yes.
Cheers to you, Steve, and good luck.
He's bringing back the router to the old Comcast router.
Great. Oh, best of luck, Comcast and UPS in one day. You deserve a glass when you get home.
Yes. If there's any left, darling.
Which there won't be. But anyways.
I do have a cab still open, so there we go.
So you're not in love with it, Kaylin, with food? Or does it just change for you?
It changes, and I'm. Yeah. I'll just think about it for a while.
Alexis, what do you think?
I think I totally see what Kaylin is saying. It kind of...
Ooh, we just got bug eyes from Alexis.
It flattened out for me.
It integrates itself into the meal, which for me is not necessarily a bad thing. Mm-hmm. And I think the only reason it's potentially a negative right now is
Bye, Steve!
Because we're eating a piece of
bread,
really boring bread.
Really boring.
So integrating itself with the bread isn't necessarily that much of a feature. But if we were eating a meal that was like some kind of amazing pasta or whatever, then integrating itself with that food would be much more fun. So I think this just with, you know, a crust of bread, like we're sitting in a prisoner of war camp.
Like an Oliver musical?
Less exciting, but I think if we had, you know, if we were having this with a proper meal, we'd be a lot more happy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Have you tried it with almonds yet?
Let me try it.
Try it with almonds, and Lana will let us know.
I like wine to be like a good actor. That they're acting...
Impossible to find?
Oh!
Okay, when you're seeing next one.
Ooh! Two.
Two.
They're flexible.
Or three.
They're very flexible. They come into new company, and they, what is your style? What is, how are we doing this? And it just sort of melds into the company. That's what I want wine to be a good actor.
And so how do you feel about this one? Is it a good actor?
It's a pretty good actor.
Yeah.
I like it.
You know where this would be great?
Where?
A picnic in the Alps.
And should we go to the Alps and
We should.
I think we should bring your Zoom recorder. And I think we should do the Alpine episode.
Oh my God, wouldn't that be great?
Yes,
Tyrion. And here we are in the Alps.
And we will go.
Okay.
I'm game. I mean, Lana and I have joked about actually doing tours where we go out and drink places and yes. take people with us. And
you're pretty portable here.
Besides the Renfest, which...
Yeah.
Well, we'll see how next episode goes at the Renfest.
Okay, almond's better.
Almonds
are better. Definitely better.
I tried it with the almond and I was surprised. I think it's... And I think that's basically, you know, summing up what Alexis is saying, though. It's like, with a proper meal, this is a decent wine.
Right.
With white bread,
it's like... So this wine brings out the flavor of what you're eating. Whereas the Bordeaux really stood by itself.
But I'd happily drink both alone.
You know what?
I mean, I know. Yeah,
this is going to sound completely ridiculous, but I wonder what this would taste like with a grilled cheese sandwich. With good cheese.
Yeah. Lana's getting the miracle cheese.
If I still have some.
And the which you don't typically open. Think of wine as the accompaniment for a good drawers cheese being sandwich, but why not?
I think wine should go with everything. So, I mean, Joshua Scrimshaw was a guest a couple episodes ago. And
damn you, Joshua.
Damn you. And he's a cheesemonger. And he introduced us to the miracle cheese that can make any wine taste amazing. So, Lana...
It's French.
And Lana's dug it out of the fridge.
Sweet.
It's like, what is it, $25 a pound or something horrific?
And worth every penny. So, some wines make me want to go, oh my God, chocolate. Mm-hmm. The last Bordeaux, chocolate. Yeah. This wine, I would never pair with chocolate.
No.
Ever.
I would probably go graham crackers with this wine.
Yeah, or cheese.
Or cheese, which Lana's cutting the cheese.
Cheers.
Okay, so she's cut the miracle cheese, which is what, Lana?
Petite Basque.
The Petite Basque.
So French sheep's cheese.
And so now we're nomming the cheese.
Nom.
Which is a delicious cheese, thank you, Joshua.
Which, by the way,
very mild.
Makes a ridiculously good... grilled cheese sandwich, which it sounds like it's a horrible thing to do with such an expensive cheese, but you have no idea.
Wait, try it with the wine, my dear. Yeah, try it with the wines, my friends, because it is full of wonder.
And now it came to life for me.
Uh-huh.
So I was thinking this is a three when I was drinking it before. Yeah. Now, with this, this is edging up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, Alexis and I talked about that Côte de Rhône is one of our favorite wines before we started recording. And this is why, in my opinion. Yeah. It goes with anything.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Grilled cheeses.
Except bad white bread.
Yeah.
Bad white bread, maybe not bad
white bread. They're not really expensive.
Uh-uh.
That's the other thing, is you can get really well-priced, really good to drink Côte de Rhône. And so you don't have to, like, save them for a special occasion.
People save wine for a special occasion?
I don't know what that's about.
There are those who do. Well, you know, when you fork out $50 for a bottle of wine, you're not just gonna, you know...
Have it with my Dominoes.
Yeah.
Lana, what do you think?
And you should feel free to, right?
What do you think the cheese, Lana? Yeah, I timed that for you specifically.
I know you did.
Because I'm an ass. I'm a lovely human being.
You love putting me on the spot.
Yeah, I do.
It makes you happy. I'm so glad I can make you happy.
Yay!
I'm happy. Oh, man. Especially with the cheese. The cheese, I too always give room for that possibility of a five out there lurking that I haven't had yet. So... This is a 4. 4.1, 4.2 maybe.
Mm-hmm.
There she is.
4.
Yep. In her room with her bottle.
Yep. And my magic cheese.
We're going to rating.
Yeah.
So you give it a 4.1. My goal is to turn you into a Côte de Rhône whore.
Ooh!
Because when Lana and I go out, we always get a bottle. I mean, we got you on Cabernet!
Yeah.
I'm very proud of that. So 4.1. Kaylin, what do you think?
3.75.
Wow. We're going to... 2 decimal places.
I'm going to make up my own math and call this a high 4.
A high 4? What does your own math mean?
Because it's somewhere like in between 4 and 5, but I don't know where, and I don't really care. It's just really,
even better.
Really good. The Bordeaux for me was a 5 because I don't expect to really be that attracted to Bordeaux, and it blew my mind. Mm-hmm. So that made it a 5 to me. I expect Côte de Rhône to be good.
Yeah.
This was solidly good. It didn't surprise me as being amazingly head and shoulders beyond any other Côte de Rhône I had.
Yeah.
So it's sort of, I'm judging it by a different scale, but Yeah. 4 point something.
4 point something.
Yeah.
And it doesn't even
matter. If I bought this bottle at a restaurant, I would be happy. I would be very, very happy.
Yeah. See, yeah. And I agree with Alexis again. He and I are cote de run whores. So I love this type of wine. So this one does not disappoint me, but it also doesn't blow me away.
Right.
So, you know, I'm giving it the high four as well.
Aww.
Well,
high four!
One of the things my brother Brad said in conversation once, and I really kind of, I like his idea, is that he's more interested in finding a really well-drinkable $10 bottle of wine than he is in finding an amazing $100 bottle of wine. That's easy, and that's not interesting. Mm-hmm. To him, the interesting part is, you know, in the cheap side of the spectrum, what are people doing that's
amazing?
Really surprisingly amazing?
Yeah.
And that's kind of how I feel, too. I am a little more excited about what's really surprising under $30 out there. Mm-hmm. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
So, I mean, super quickly, do you guys have any projects coming up that you want to share with the world?
Well, we sort of do. I mean, here's the thing. Yes, we do. Yes. We have several projects that are on the board. So for those who don't know, I'm a filmmaker. Kaylin is an actress and a filmmaker
and
a writer.
Producer.
And producer.
And I'm a writer. And so we work on separate projects, and then we collaborate on projects, and it's a big mishmash.
Which is how we all met, because we all did a project together called The Place Where You Live, which
in
is
which you
starring
are
Dawn.
Oh, we have won awards, darling.
We won awards.
What?
It was just recently in the Boston Science Fiction
and the Big Easy Film Festival in New Orleans.
It was the best science fiction short.
Get the hell out of here. About damn
guys.
Time.
Yes.
Well, Lana is the supporting actress in it.
Lana's in it as well.
And
in fact, this is practically a film reunion.
It is a film reunion.
We're missing your husband.
And the one bit of news is that
I finally decided when it's going to be available to the public. Because as you know, when you're on the festival circuit, you can't have it generally available.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a huge drag as you're getting turned down from festival after festival. And then you get into one and 10 people come.
Oh, man.
I mean, you know, it's the nature of the beast, right?
It
Not
is.
Every festival is well attended. I'm happy when anyone
especially
comes.
At Saturday morning at 10 a.m.
Yes, exactly.
Anyways, that's another story.
Exactly, exactly. I just want to go on the record as saying I am thrilled with an audience of any size.
Good.
Because it's all about having an audience.
But it's doing well, though, and I'm happy
to hear
that.
It's doing well. People are really liking it, and in May, it is going to be viewable to the general public.
Wonderful. So that's
May
of 2015. May
of 2015.
Grand.
And if it's the beginning of May or the end of May, depends on how many rejections I've had at that point.
I don't know quite what to say to that. You know, it's like good or bad, you know?
Meh. Well, okay, so that's exciting stuff. And any other upcoming things you guys want to plug before we close it out for the day?
Right now, I'm transforming people's personal spaces and closets with my company, Divine Order and Style. So that's been really exciting. So I come
that
in
is so
and
cool.
I take what you have and make it work. So
no, I'm not
show you my closet upstairs.
I'll pay you in wine.
I will be drinking wine and moving your furniture.
I'll
so.
Drink wine with you. God, my house is such a mess. Okay.
And those of you who are interested in learning more about the obscure discipline of color correction for film and video, I have some new titles coming available from Ripple Training.
Well, that's wonderful.
So
cool. Grand.
I don't know how much of your audience intersects with that, but there it is.
We have a wonderfully, crazily, happily nerdy audience.
Yeah, we do, and I'm very happy about that. So that's
they're good. Like us.
Yeah. What? So okay, so that's cool. So between the two bottles, ladies and gentlemen, which one is your favorite?
Bordeaux.
The Bordeaux?
Yes.
Lana?
Oh. Cote de Rhone.
The Cote de Rhone. Ooh.
I'm sorry. Cote de Rhone.
Okay.
I'm trying to remember how to pronounce French.
Mm. Alexis, what do you think?
I require context. If I'm throwing a party, the Bordeaux is going to be my go-to. If I'm having a picnic, then the Cote de Rhone.
Sweet. Oh, so both of them are fabulous.
They're both fabulous in their own ways.
Isn't that what wine's all about?
Here, here.
Here, here. So, this was cool.
Yeah, this was cool. Me. I get to decide.
Boy, this is the best Bordeaux I've ever had.
You know what you should do? You should look at that diamond on your hand.
I should look at the diamond on my
really
hand.
And let it decide.
Let it decide what I want. But the Bordeaux really knocked my socks off. Oh, thank you. It's a fine diamond. I know. I told my nieces it's the difference between getting engaged at 40 and then getting engaged at 20. But so the Bordeaux blew my mind. It's one of the best ones. But Côte d'Aron is, I think, always going to be one of my faves.
Yep.
So... this is awesome. So I'm all, oh, wait, what am I doing? You brought us a special taste.
Very quickly.
Yeah.
If you want to do a very, very quick.
Does it want?
Port.
Mm-hmm.
Drain your glass.
This is a 1990.
Oh my gosh, you brought us
vintage port.
Holy
from Moiré.
And so this is aged. And tell the difference between the, when it's aged in a, the difference in aging.
A thingy?
Yeah. What kind of casks, or or how long, or
well, the vintage ports are. This was interesting to me because you go to the store and you always hear that ruby ports are shit, right? And they usually are.
Oh,
because
Steve just came back in. Hi, Steve.
That was a quick trip, eh?
Hey, Steve.
Okay.
Hey.
Ruby ports are usually really young, and they're basically just from the pressed grape. And because they're young, they're cheap, they're not well aged, they're not a particularly good vintage, and so they tend to be not great. And so if you buy a ruby port as your first experience, you're probably not going to like port, and it's sad.
Oh,
because
I like port.
Good ports and vintage ports are amazing. The interesting thing about vintage ports to me is they are effectively ruby ports because it's the same process as the ruby ports.
Young wines stopped aging, add a sometimes called a brandy or a spirit, which stops the
mm-hmm.
process.
The fermentation.
The fermentation process.
Well, it's not necessarily that it's a young wine, but it's a good year for the grapes.
That's what it's all about.
It's a good year for the grapes.
Grapes.
They press it.
2011
like any other wine.
Huge year.
Huh.
And it was the first time the wine tasters had ever said...
For a particular vintner.
Hmm. No, all of them.
No. It's just
that
one.
I think they're going to fight.
Fight. It was the only time they had ever tasted the flavor of...
Bubblegum.
Weird.
Yeah, but it was at... I'm trying to remember the...
One of the main ones.
I'm trying to think of why I'd want bubblegum in my wine, though.
I'll just trust it. It's
okay.
Wine. It's wine, Lana. Yeah. It's wine.
All right. You mean like pencil shavings?
No, it's pencil shavings.
These
it's wine.
These are palettes that are very,
far beyond
very,
ours.
Far beyond our. Yeah.
So can we pour it yet?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to let you pour it.
Yeah,
you brought it.
Anyway, the point I was trying to make originally is that the vintage ports are the same technical process as the ruby ports. So
sure.
Technically, vintage ports are ruby ports.
Okay.
But they're declared vintage.
And Kaylin's taking the
bottle
for it.
They're declared vintages that everyone can agree on. These grapes are great. And they're aged appropriately.
That's grand.
And look at the color. So this is now 15 years old.
Wow, we're happy to drink this for you. Yeah, the color is almost like a dark brownish,
it's
like reddish
red
brown.
And amber at the same time. I don't know what...
Oh, I love port. I really do.
And because they stopped the fermentation earlier, you get more of the grape. The whole point is to have a sweeter, fruitier wine
that
still has the high alcohol content because of the fortification.
Oh, the smell is just... I don't even know what to say about that scent.
Get this too. This is the wine I want to take a bath in. I mean, like, the other wines are great for, like, drinking, but
and
this is...
And suddenly I'm younger.
It's the wine of virgins. I'm younger. So, and you guys got this from Portugal, right?
Yes.
Well,
no.
Technically speaking, all port
have to be
is from Porto in Portugal, because Porto,
like champagne.
You were talking about appellations.
Mm-hmm.
We learned when we were in Porto that Porto was one of the first Appalachians, because a lot of people were trying to pass off cheap, shitty wines as Portuguese Porto.
Oh, it's wonderful.
And the ruler of Portugal decided enough.
Yeah.
We don't want to be the, you know, the ghetto wine producer of Europe. Yeah. So we're going to declare that this area is where we can grow the best grapes. Mm-hmm. So this is our Appalachian. If it's not from here, it's not court. And that actually started the whole notion of...
And I highly, highly recommend, in your travels, go to Portugal.
It is just buy the wine. It is an
undiscovered gem. It is a jewel. Most people just go to London and Paris and call it a day. Go to Portugal. It is totally undiscovered.
Oh, well, I thank you for bringing something. I mean, we're going to happily drink this as we sign off for this episode of Screw It, a podcast about wine. Wine improves with age. We improve with wine. Thank you so much, Alexis and Kaylin, for joining us on the show.
You've come blocks and blocks.
And brought your international experience, which is awesome. Our next show is at Die Laughing, which is the 50-hour comedy event for Fearless Comedy Productions. It is what, at the... I don't... Hilton Bloomington? Doubletree?
Remember.
Yeah. Okay, well, we've been... Yeah, I'll just post this stuff.
Yeah.
But we are on the Sunday. We're at, what, 5 o'clock?
5:30, something
Yeah,
like
I think
that.
We'll start at 5:30, so that if you ever wanted to see us live, lucky you, you could see us perform. Die Laughing is a wonderful fundraising event for Fearless Comedy Productions, who produces a lot of unknown theater, a lot of new theater, a lot of comedy, obviously, and they're pretty darn awesome. So if you come to give them money, it will be well spent to produce better theater. Now, the other fun thing that we're doing is that if you ever wanted to be a guest on Screw It, a podcast about wine, we're doing the silent auction where you can bid to be our guest on that Sunday. Not only do you get to be a guest, but you'll also get a bottle of one of the wines that we're featuring. So why wouldn't you want to do that?
I don't know.
So come check us out. I don't know if you actually have to physically be there to bid, but hopefully you don't have to. You could probably just put it on our website and we'll put the bid down for you, but you better pay them, otherwise you're a jerk. And so I think our theme for Die Laughing should be funny labels of bottles of wine.
Oh,
or funny names of bottles of wine.
Whatever tickles our fancy.
I like that idea.
I like being tickled.
The Marilyn Marlowe is very good.
That's already awesome. Okay, so
the El Toro, not so much. It's got a little plastic bowl on it.
So thank you so much for listening to Screw It, a podcast about wine. Find us on Facebook. We're there. Theme song.
What happened to our theme song?
It is a Parisian theme song. It is the close of it. Thank you. Bye-bye.